Lord Jesus, I love you. I'm grateful, Lord, for your grace and mercy toward us. We ought to be in hell, Lord, every one of us. But you saw fit in your kindness and your mercy to save us and to call us into your ministry. Lord, I thank you for Landmark Baptist Church and for the outreach that they had to an 18-year-old dope head back in 1972. God, you saved me, and I've never been the same since, and I'm grateful. I thank you. Bless us tonight, Lord, and help us to share our heart and try to be a blessing and a help to somebody that might be going through a tragedy in their own life. And we thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I appreciate Brother Carter allowing me to come and share some words with you and to preach to you. I pray that God will give you an ability to hear and to understand through this old ragged voice of mine. I want to give you some things about this that you might not know. I want to start by saying that tragedy is no respect of persons. Tragedy comes in all shapes and sizes, and also, some of them are just that big that you lay in the graveyard. And some of them are after 50 years of marriage. Some of them are health. Some of them are mind. Tragedies come in everybody's life. And either you're in one right now and you don't know what in the world to do, or you just came out of one, or you're fixing to go into one. Tragedy is no respect of person. Like I said in my prayer, I was saved on April 16th, 1972, in the little building next door. And I came that Sunday at the request of my sister-in-law's Linda Waldo and Sonny Waldo, just to get them off of me, because they kept saying, "Oh, Brother Kevin, you need to come and you need to hear. You need to visit our church." I was an 18-year-old dope head. I'd already lived life that I thought that's all there was to it. And I said, "Okay, if you leave me alone, I'll come and visit." So I came on Easter Sunday morning in April of 72, and Brother Carter got up in that little building, it's probably the size of that choir loft, and I don't know what he preached. Tell you the truth, I was so nervous and so convicted that of my own personal sin that as soon as they bowed their head for the invitation, I shut out the back door. I ran. And I knew that they had visitation on Thursday night, so I would not. I knew I wasn't going to be home Thursday night. I had something else to do. But the next Sunday morning, I came again. It was God. And Brother Carter preached the gospel. I don't know what he said, but I know what the Holy Ghost was saying. He's saying, "Kevin, you're a sinner. You've tried everything else, now try me." Well, that was my last stop. That was the only stop I needed to make. And he saved my old wretched soul. He gave me a brand new life. He changed me completely and never been the same since. And as Brother Carter alluded to, after a year or so of ministry and watching this thing grow and running, I mean, we had 85 professions of faith Sunday, and we were pushing a big day for 85 back in 72. Yeah. I mean, that would have been a big crowd, and we had 85 saved Sunday morning. I'll say hallelujah. And so the church began to take off, and in the early days, and Brother Powell, Brian Powell, left and went to another place. And so Brother Carter said, "Brother Kevin, I want you to lead the singing for me." I didn't know nothing about that. And so we started, and we did, and the Lord blessed. And then I got the big idea that I was going to go off to Tennessee Temple and get some higher learning. I had more business going off to Tennessee Temple than the man on the moon. But I went up there anyway. Got some music, got some voice. I was a voice major. And I sang on the platform behind Dr. Robertson every service and every chapel service, and was invited here and there to sing for this rally or that big meeting or whatever. And I got to thinking myself more highly than I ought to think of myself. I'm proud to do that. Because everybody was saying, oh, Brother Kevin, that was good. I mean, those songs are excellent, and that singing is wonderful, and oh, you're just a blessing. You're just something. And that's where I got the pats on the head, and that's where I got my accolades, and that's where I got my identity. With Brother Kevin, that was a good song. That Brother Kevin, what a voice. But something tragic happened one day. I would get laryngitis like anybody that sings for a living and preaches. And I would rest my voice a few days, and it would come back, and I would be okay for a while. And then my voice would leave again, and then I would rest a few days, and it just went on and on for years and years. And one day it left, and this is all I've got left of it. And listen, that was a tragedy in my life. That's where I got my identity from. I was Kevin the singer. I was Kevin the preacher. I was Kevin the, oh, Brother Kevin, what a blessing. That's where I got the strokes and my pats on my head. And that became my identity. And when I lost my voice, when I lost my ministry, I lost my identity. And I went into a tailspin. Now, I didn't quit church, and I didn't quit going to church, and I didn't start running around with my wife and drinking and all that. I stayed the stuff, but boy, down deep inside, I was bitter. God, how in the world could you allow this to happen to me? I'm in full-time ministry. I mean, I sing the gospel, I travel, and I'd go here and there, and I try to preach, and I try to witness, and I try to win souls to Christ. Lord, why would you allow this to happen to me? I didn't understand it. And so I became bitter inside. I got angry with God, and I got mad at God. And if you're not careful, when a tragedy comes into your life, you will also become angry and bitter. Tragedy is no respect of persons. And so I had to get me a real job. I had to leave the ministry. I couldn't sing anymore, obviously. Barely preach anymore. I surely couldn't make a living traveling and singing like I did. I had 5 gospel albums. I traveled and sang and preached all over the southeastern United States in all kind of meetings. I traveled a couple of years with Dr. Carl Hatch as his music man, and went to sang for Jack Hiles and Lee Robertson and Harold Seidler, and I mean all the big guys, and boy, I just thought I was something until I lost my voice. And when I lost my voice, I lost who I was. I lost my identity. And the Lord, as the Lord only can do, allowed me to sit and simmer in that stew for 10 years. I still went to church. I still married to the same woman. We were celebrating 37 years in April. There was nothing different on the outside. I still gave, and I still tried to win souls, and I still went to church. But deep down inside, I was angry and I was bitter. And it's like the fallow ground. You know, the Bible says that we ought to break up that fallow ground. Well, fallow ground is ground that had once been plowed up, and it had once been tilled and planted, but then it allowed to lay dormant for a few years, and the rocks began coming back up, and it got hard, and it gets packed down, and it's called fallow ground. Well, I was still doing what I should have been doing, and going to church and trying to be a witness, but that ground kept getting harder and harder and more fallow and more fallow. For 10 years, God allowed me to stew in that. But then, as only the Lord can do, I say, bless his holy name. He began dealing with me again, Kevin. It's not what you do, it's who you are. So my identity was based on Kevin the singer, on the ministry, instead of who I was in Christ. And the Lord Jesus began teaching me afresh and anew who I was in Christ. And I began, again, reading the scripture like I should. For 10 solid years, I read through this Bible, this old King James Bible, once a month for 10 years. Read it through 7 times last year. I kind of backslid a little bit. But as the Lord began drawing me back to himself and I started pouring myself into this book, that's where all those works that I did, that's where all the books that I have published came from, is from this book right here. And learning afresh and anew who I was in Christ. And every time I would go through it, I would make a list. This is what I am, and this is what I am. Look with me in 1 John chapter 3, would you please? 1 John chapter 3. Now, I thank God that I never got over being saved. I thank God that every time I hear a gospel song that, like was sung tonight, his eyes on the fellow, and I know he watches me, my insides just erupt, and they just spontaneous. I just have to throw my hands up, amen. I'm glad I never got over what the Lord gave me. Some of you need to get a fresh dose of what God gave you. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Let me show you one of the things that the Lord began dealing with me about and teaching me. Verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called, now look at this, the sons of God. Now he did not say that we should be called the singer or the preacher or the pastor or the banker or the postman. He said that we should be called the sons of God. That is the identity that we need, is being a child of God, a son of God. And it says, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him. Verse 2, beloved, now, right now, present tense, are we the sons of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So the identity in that passage is not what I'm doing. I am not a human doing. I'm a human being. This identity is present tense. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. And I had a misplaced dependency. I was misplaced dependency upon Kevin and what he was doing instead of on Christ and what he did in me. Because that's where I got my accolades. That's where I got my pats on the head. And so I had a misplaced identity. It was what I was doing and not what I was. And you know what? God loves you too much to allow you to stay there. You got a misplaced dependency. You think you're somebody. The Lord will let you stew in that until a tragedy comes your way. And then you'll be wandering around, what in the world happened? And you won't have anything rock solid to hold on to. You can hold on to this verse right here. The sons of God, the child of God. I can't hold on to Kevin the singer or Kevin the preacher or Kevin the pastor. I have to have something more established than that. The only thing that'll make it through the graveyard is my identity that I'm a child of God. Being a banker won't make it through the graveyard. Being a singer won't make it through the graveyard. Every identity that you have other than this will stop at the graveyard. only being a child of God, that's the only thing that'll make it through the graveyard into glory. God's only interested in the children of God, on sons of God. Now look at it with me, if you would, in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, the Lord was so faithful to teach me and to nurture me and to help me. And in my own stupidity, in my own selfishness, in my own bitterness, in my own hatred, in my own self-love, He was so gracious to show me some things. And so one of my trips through, I would constantly make a list of who I was, my identity, and that began building me once again. And then in chapter 6 and verse number 9, the Bible gives us some identities that a lost man has. Now look at this, verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? So the unrighteous I'm likening unto lost men, and I'll show you why in a moment. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now I want you to look at these words. You see the word fornicator in verse number 9? That is an identity. That O-R-S on the end of that word is an identity, is a personification of that. Now look at this. Nor idolater. So that's a person that is an idolater. Nor adulterers. That's a person that is, his identity is adulterer, and so on. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. And such were some of you. And such were some of you. Look at that word, W-E-R-E, were, past tense. Such were some of you. Some of you were fornicators. That was your identity. Some of you were adulterers. That was your identity. Some of you were effeminate. That was your identity. And abusers and drunkards and revilers. Such were some of you. Well, look at the next. But you were washed. I say, bless His holy name. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So you were these, but now you're this. This was your identity at one time, but now this is your identity. But such were some of you, but now you are washed, you are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now look at that verse for a second. It gives us the Godhead, if you would. God was involved in my redemption, in my salvation. Look what it says. You were washed. That's the Son. He gave Himself for us. His blood paid for us. That was His part, the sacrifice. You were washed. That's the Son. But ye were sanctified. That's the Holy Ghost. Man, you were justified. That's God the Father. The Godhead right there in the verse. Such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say everybody ought to be saying hallelujah right there if you know the Lord. Such were some of you, but you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified in the name of Jesus. What a God we serve. What a God we have. So the only identity that's going to survive the graveyard is in verse 11. The washed, the sanctified, and the justified. Now look it with me, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 12. Talk to you for a moment about that root of bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12. I told you I became, when I lost my identity, I lost who I was. I thought I was Kevin the singer because I believed what people were saying about me. Your identity is either based on what you think about yourself, or what you think other people think about you, or what God says about you. And the only true identity you can have is what God says about you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Look at chapter 12, verse 1, or verse 2, looking unto Jesus. All right, so that's the context, looking unto Jesus. That's the key, looking unto Jesus, not looking unto myself, not looking unto what I did, not looking unto my college credits, not looking unto my bus ministry, not looking unto my pastor, not looking unto my singing ability, not looking unto my leadership ability, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then look at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked. See, what I did is whenever I lost my identity because it was misplaced, then I became angry at God because of his discipline. I fainted. And I lost my identity, and I did a tailspin until the Lord started once again bringing me back and teaching me fresh and anew. You know what? Whenever I got saved in that little bitty building over there, April 16th, 1972, long-haired dope head, the whole nine yards, the only thing I knew that I was a sinner and that Jesus loved me. That's all I needed to know. But see, we get thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought. And we say, well, I've read the Bible through once a month for 10 years. Or I can sing in the choir, or I can lead the music, or I can play, or I can do whatever you're doing as for an identity. And then when you're rebuked of that, then when your identity has been revealed to you as being misplaced, then if you're not careful, you'll faint. In the way, you'll faint at the chastisement, and that's what I did. I admit it freely. I'm not as strong as some of you folks are, and when I lost my identity, I just went in a tailspin. Look at verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. I say, bless his holy name, for the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Boy, the Lord was exercising me. For 10 years, he allowed me to stew in that. And hey, and God will let you stew in that as long as you need to. God is in no hurry. God never gets in a hurry. He will let you stay there and stew as long as it needs to, but he loves you too much to leave you there. So the only thing I knew as a dope head was that Jesus loved me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I knew that I was a sinner. And God started taking me back to that, started taking me back to that identity, started taking me back that I was a lost, undone, hellbound, and saved by the grace of God. Then look what he says in verse 15. Now in verse 2, we were looking unto Jesus, so that's still the context of verse 15, looking diligently. Where are we going to look to? We're going to have to look back to Jesus. We're going to have to look back to the Word of God. We're going to have to look back to what he did to Jesus loved me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Look at this, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now look at this. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now look at this. Where do roots grow? They grow way underground. Boy, my root of bitterness was way underground. I didn't think anybody else knew it. I mean, I was still going to church, and I was still giving, and I was still knocking doors on Saturday. And I didn't think that anybody knew. But boy, way down deep, there was a root of bitterness growing. And one day it sprang out. He says, looking unto diligence, lest any man fail the grace, lest any root of bitterness springing up. Now, it's okay to have that root, just don't let it spring up. How do you not let it spring up? You keep pleading the blood of Jesus on it. You keep confessing it. God, I can't do it myself. I need your help. I need you. That root of bitterness will eat you like a cancer. And that's what it was doing to me, eating me like a cancer. Until the Savior began teaching me fresh and anew who I was in Christ, not what I was doing. I mean, I've had enough accolades to last a lifetime. I don't need that. I need Jesus. I need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. That's my identity. That's where I need to be. And that root of bitterness springing up troubles you and troubles many around you. And so as I was going through that process, I told you, the Lord began dealing with me, and he started bringing me back, and he started showing me who I was. And I read my Bible through once a month for 10 straight years. And out of that was the books that had been published recently. I'd been accumulating that information for over 10 years. And I've been putting it in my computer and typing it and all that stuff. And then one day the Lord said, okay, Kevin, it's time. You need to get this out so that it can help somebody else. It's not doing anybody any good sitting on your desktop. And so the Lord allowed me to publish those. And I want it to be a blessing. I want it to be a help to everybody that has a chance to read them or get them. But here's what I want to leave with you. It was a tragedy in my life. You probably have had tragedies in your life. God knows we all have. But the day that I could stand before the Lord with my heart in my hand and say, thank you for this, then I got free. Then I got restored. When you can stand in the face of your tragedy and you can say, Lord, thank you. That is a sweet smell to the Lord. That is a sweet smell of sacrifice to the Lord. He'll let you stay as bitter just as long as you want to. But when the time comes that you can stand before the Lord with your heart in your hand and you can say, Lord, thank you for this. Then victory, then restoration, then power, then everything that you wanted from God is there. Watch out for that root of bitterness. Plead the blood of Jesus on it. Don't get over your salvation. Don't get over what God rescued you from. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. And such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. I say praise his holy name. And when you can stand to say, Lord, whatever the tragedy is, Lord, thank you for that tragedy, then you'll get victory. You'll get stability once again. You'll get where you should have been all along. Don't take a lot of time getting back to where God wants you to be. You know, I didn't even know that I was bitter. I didn't even know that I was hurting myself and everybody I loved until God began dealing with me again of who I was. Misplaced identity. Misplaced dependency depending on Kevin and who he is instead of Christ and who he is. Misplaced. Angry at God, bitter at God. But he once again began teaching me. And he'll do the same for you. You have to acknowledge, Lord, I'm bitter. I didn't even realize it. I want to be a sweet savor to you. There's tragedies come in all shapes and sizes. But it's how you deal with them. That's the key. You're going to face them. God, the Lord loves you too much to allow you to go through this life and escape any of that. You're going to face something. But how you handle that, how you deal with that, is the key of whether you'll be victorious over it or you'll become bitter. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed for a moment. Such were some of you. You remember what you used to be? You remember those old identities you used to have? I was a drunkard. I was a prostitute. I was a harlot. I was a whore. I was a dope head. I was this. I was that. None of that is going to matter when the time comes for you to die. The only identity that's going to make it through the graveyard is I am a child of God. That's it. If God's dealing with you, come and give it to him. Come and allow God to deal with that bitter spirit. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Preacher.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Let's bow our heads again as the music continues. Brother Kevin shared his heart with us and more tonight. For many of us that lived through those years with him, we hurt for him, and maybe we didn't understand it. As he said, he didn't know himself how bitter he'd grown, but folks, what happened to one of God's special servants, Kevin Mann, can happen to every one of us. Maybe it already has, and you haven't recognized it yet. Oh, it's time to get back to what we are in Jesus, what we are in Christ, not what we are in the eyes of others, what merit badges we can pin on ourselves. Devil is slick. If he can get us to be proud of what we're doing instead of who we are in Christ, we're in trouble. Some of us in the building here go a long way back with Kevin. See Brother Scotty Drake back there. I remember when Kevin used to go and sing for Good Shepherd over there when Scotty was pastor, and some of the big meetings and things. It's two things we have to be careful about believing that'll get us in trouble. We cannot believe all the good that's said about us. If we do, sometimes it'll let a little pride get in where it shouldn't. Same time, we can't believe all the bad that's said about us, because the devil will put us on the shelf with that if we let him. Stay in balance with the Lord Jesus Christ and keep serving him is a challenge, but it can be done. Outward appearance is not the main thing. It's what God knows in the heart, isn't it? Kevin, I appreciate that tonight. Spoke to me especially. I'm sure to a lot of our folks. God has used him and still using him, but Kevin wanted to be used in another way, and God may have used you greater, Kevin, by doing it his way. I've just had a little chance to get into some of the books he's written at different times, and he didn't do that for his own glory. He was doing that to help folks, to increase our faith. And I'll say to our college, I'm going to get a bunch of them in the bookstore, and I'm going to get some back here in the counter. And you've heard me already reference a time or two just the old King James Bible, reading it through once a month. That's a pretty good bunch of reading, folks. And yet God has shown him stuff in the King James Bible that I don't know anybody else has ever, if they've seen it, they've not recorded it. And finally God said, I want you to record it. So he has a stack of books. It'll be a big help to you. And you won't find them just everywhere. But we'll have them here, I assume. And the insight that God gives one of his servants when they're really right with him is tremendous. It is tremendous. Go on, say it.
If you go on Amazon.com and just search Kevin Mann Books, all 12 titles is available there. Some of them you can read. If you have an Amazon Prime account, you can read them free online, or you can buy an ebook or the paperback. I recommend the paperback because you've got it in your hand. You can mark it. And Amazon.com, Kevin Mann Books.
Amen. It'll be worthwhile. Titles like, Nuggets in the King James Bible and others are just a real, real blessing. We feel like Kevin's our own because he did get saved here and served with us in all kind of ways, bus ministry, choir, leading singing, camp, you name it. He was with us in those early years, and we praise God he's still serving the Lord today, amen? And even though the tragedy, and the devil didn't take him totally out of the picture with it, amen?